seek the blessings of all the devotees so that I can speak something worthwhile. It can help us in our Krishna consciousness. So, yesterday we were discussing the celebrated verse, Balasya Neha Sharanam Pitrau Narsiha. So, the main topic yesterday was the way the modes influence us and the 10 factors which we can change, by which we can change the modes influencing us. And then briefly we discussed about the Lord's protection. So, these three examples, they refer to the three kleshas. And how from those three kleshas, there is no solution unless the Lord sanctions it. So we saw this, we can rub this. We discussed this immediate cause, remote cause, and ultimate cause. So, yesterday after the class, some devotees were asking that, so if we are destined to suffer because of karma, then why should we take the medicines? But is it that we lack faith, so we take the medicines? No, we see that even our acharyas, Srila Prabhupada, even Prabhupada's disciples, they take medicines. So that's why we also take Mahajano Yena Gata Sapanta. So how the philosophy has to be applied in our life, that we learn from the Mahajanas. So one thing is that if we have some small ailments, we tolerate them. We don't, Devamrut Prabhu says in one lecture that modern people take a pill for every sneeze. Every time you sneeze, you think, oh, maybe something is wrong. And they take a pill for that. There are people who are addicted to medicines like that. So a devotee tolerates small things. We don't take medicines for small things. But when there are major ailments, because we want to serve Krishna with this body, so we take care of it. There is this example in the 7th canto that a tree can give fruit only when it is alive. If the tree dies, no matter how glorious the tree is, it cannot give fruits. So he says like that, this human body is the tree and the fruit that comes from it is liberation. It's pure devotional service, the supreme liberation. And that fruit can come from the tree only if the tree lives sufficiently for the fruit to come. So like that, it's only if this body survives and gives us the facility to practice devotional service that the fruit of love of God can come. That's why if we want that fruit of love of God, it's important for us to keep the tree alive. That means we have to take care of our body till then. So there's a quote of Prabhupada. I think he wrote to Rai Ram Prabhu. To work very hard for Krishna's service and to take care of our health. That is the motto of a devotee's life. To work very hard for Krishna's service and to take care of the health. Is the motto of a devotee's life. It's Prabhupada's letter to Rai Ram Prabhu. Now, going further, earlier we had discussed about Kala Karma Guna Adhino. How, with respect to Kala Karma and Guna, we are helpless. We can't protect ourselves. Kal is going to destroy us ultimately and we can't stop that. And karma, anyone remembers the example of how helpless we are with respect to our karmic reactions? What is the example? Many examples, but one. Yes? Yes, a soldier on the battlefield with no arms and no armor. Then just see the enemy shooting and some bullet comes and hits him and wounds him. So we are like that. We are just in the journey of life and any time any karmic reaction can come and hit us. And we can just watch it hitting us. So many times we get diseases for apparently no cause. So how does that happen? And especially now, that's like you have ahaituki bhakti, like that you have ahaituki suffering also. Especially like there are diseases like cancer, there's no traceable cause. Terror. There is enormous suffering. So ultimately, we are helpless. So Kala, Karma and Guna. Guna, what does Guna refer to? So Kala means ultimately we are all going to die. Karma means in the journey of life. So they say, our journey of life is not only doomed, but it is distressful. It's doomed. But even while it is doomed, in the process also, there is suffering. So there is suffering which comes because of past karma. And Guna is... At any time, the modes may make us act in a way which cause suffering to us and suffering to others. So any of the anarthas can surface in our earth and we may act in stupid ways. So that is kala karma guna. So these are the three things through which the conditioned soul is made to dance like a puppet, and he is made to suffer through that. And we are helpless about it. So now for all these three, Krishna is the only protector. Krishna, we are, as the CC says that, the Jiva is Mayara Kinkar and Krishna is Mayeshwar, Mayara Ishwar. So we are Guna Kala Karma Guna Dhino, but Krishna is above all these. And he can protect us from all these three also. So how does he protect it from the gunas? So when we have the holy name, we have the process of Krishna consciousness. When even the lower desires start coming and we have something to fight with. Otherwise, for a materialistic person, even materially people, they're those who have some sense of morality and decency, they know that lust is bad. They don't want to be lusting after every woman that passes by. They don't want to be greedy for every advertisement that is shown. They don't want to get too angry over every trivial thing. But they're helpless. So they have no means to fight at all. So Chandramouli Maharaj gave this example that material life is like playing a game which you can't win and you can't stop playing. So that is material life. As a small boy goes into a boxing match and he has to fight with a big boxing champion. And he's not allowed to come out of the ring. Just knocked down. And his nose is broken and his eyes are black and his face is bleeding. Get up and fight again. And again knocked down. You're not allowed to, you cannot win and you cannot stop fighting. So we cannot win means material enjoyment can never satisfy. It can never make us happy. We can never get it as much as we want. And we can't stop playing means the material desires never give us relief. They always keep pushing us, goading us, give me this, give me that, give me that, give me that. So we are not allowed to go out of the arena of material pursuits. That's why it's like a game which we can't win and we can't stop playing. So it's miserable. So materialistic people are very condemned in that sense by their own karma. But it's a very condemned life, unfortunately. So when we become devotees, also material desires come up. But at least we have something to fight with. Now imagine if lust attacks and we have no holy name to chant. How will we deal with it? We have no philosophy of Krishna consciousness to take shelter of. And how do we deal with it? It's next to impossible. People just get so tortured. I think I mentioned the story about Ravindra Swarup Prabhu. He had gone for a program in a Christian seminary. A seminary is a place where priests are trained. So it's like a Christian Brahmachari ashram. So there he had gone, and there also in the Catholic Church they still have an insistence on celibacy. So he had gave his talk and he told about the holy name and he quoted similarities from Christianity and Krishna consciousness. They were very interested. And after the break he spoke about the four regulative principles and they started losing interest. And then when the class got over, then a few students gathered around him and they were asking some things. And then he saw that around 15 people had gathered around him, 10 of them had started lighting cigarettes. And these are priests. And then he asked them, is it so difficult for you to give this up? And then Ravindra Swarup says that his reply and the vehemence, the hatred which he made that reply, both shocked me. He said, if only I could go out with a girl on Saturday night, I wouldn't have to smoke this damn thing. So then he inquired about their life. He said that they have some classes in the morning and some classes at night and whole day is free. And they in their seminary itself, they have television, they have magazines and they eat meat. And he said, when I heard this, I felt like crying. So he saw he had done kirtan before and they had agreed to chant the holy name. And he says, I could see that they were sincere seekers of the truth. They wanted God. But he said, in such an environment, when you watch TVs, read magazines, eat meat, how can anyone ever practice self-control? So he said, I felt that they were being cheated. That they were being misled. They wanted God, but they were not being shown the path to God. So one of the biggest problems in the Christian tradition, even Islamic tradition, even many Hindu traditions, is that they have no regulated sadhana. Many gurus, you know, they tell you, Hari Naam lena chahiye. Kitna lena chahiye? Jitna ho sakta hai, utna lo. Hamesha lene ka prayas karo, jitna lena sakte. And that way, if it is said, then nobody will chant at all. So because there is no sadhana, there is no steady sadhana, so there is no steady purification. So they have no way to actually overcome the influence of the modes. And in some of the Protestants, they don't have celibacy at all as a requirement. The Catholics, they have it. And so the Anglican Church, you know, that is another version, they are so perverted that one of the main diocese, one of the main bishops in one state, I think Minnesota in USA, the main priest, he is a practicing homosexual. And he's the main priest. So what to speak of celibacy, and not even satisfied with natural sex, they want perverted sex also. And that is a priest. So the modes are influencing people in such a way that it's horrible. So he said, to identify with the body which you have, that is bad enough. But to identify with the body which you don't have, that is even worse. That is homosexuality. Actually, how homosexuality comes, when a person, say a person dies, and he goes into a new body. Say he was a male and he becomes a female in the next body. But because of certain very strong unfulfilled desires in the previous body, he doesn't get integrated with his new body. So he has got a male body, but he has got female desires from his previous body. So that is also a peculiar bad karma. And there are thousands of people who are homosexuals in the West. So that is very horrible. So to misidentify with the body which you don't have, that is even worse. So there are people who are homosexuals and they are just controlled by the modes. They can't give it up, although they try. So guna. So it is only the process of Krishna consciousness that can protect us from the modes. So Prabhupada writes in that dharma, he said, there are some religious teachers who use the sword to fight. Either you follow me or I'll kill you. So Prabhupada said, I also came with a sword. What was the sword? Yes. Specifically, what is the Bhagavatam verse? Yes, we'll repeat this first. Yad anudhyasina yuktaha karma granthi nibandhanam chindanti kovidas tasya kona kuryat katharatim. So, yad anudhya asina yuktaha. Anudhya is remembrance. Asin is sword. So the sword of remembrance of Krishna. Equipped with that, what does a wise person do? Kovida do? Karma granthi nibandhanam. Chindanti. Because of our past karma, there are two results of past karma. One is the physical and the other is psychological. The physical result is we get some suffering. Psychological result is that we have desires. Just like a person does illicit sex, the physical result is he gets AIDS. Psychological result is that he wants to have that sex again. So the material desires we have, they are also a psychological result of our past bad karma. So that is karma granthi, that are the ropes of the modes which drag us. But chindanti, with that sword, just like if there is a rope which is dragging us. All of us remember, know that picture. We show how the modes make a person dance. You know, there are three. Sattva, guna, rajaguna, there's three female personalities who are dragging, making them dance. So they are ropes, they are pulling. And try to imagine if somebody has caught you, there's a rope around your body or around the neck and is pulling. What can we do? Just pulled. But then if you have a sword, you cut off with the sword. And that person is pulling, but just the rope will come to him. And we will stay safe. So the remembrance of Krishna is like that sword. Hey, whenever so the lower modes start pulling us, if we intensely remember Krishna, basically, how do the, when we say the modes pull us, what happens exactly? See, the modes promise us some pleasure. So Rajoguna, come on, enjoy. Tamoguna says, yeah, you know, you're tired, get some rest. So they promise us some pleasure. But when we remember Krishna, that remembrance of Krishna gives us some internal pleasure, some spiritual pleasure. And when we experience that spiritual Hare Krishna, am I audible behind? So when we experience that spiritual pleasure, then the craving for the material pleasure is overcome. That's how that rope is cut. So that's what our japa is. We are cutting off all those ropes. So this is how, I can just write this. Kala, karma and guna. So these are the three things which we are subjected to. So the guna we are protected from by the remembrance of Krishna. By the sword of the remembrance of Krishna. So they are making us dance. but equipped with the sword of remembrance of Krishna. Kala, karma and guna. So guna you can just write the sword of remembrance of Krishna. So yeah, no, with guna. So is it in our temple or outside? So the sword of remembrance of Krishna protects us from the influence of the modes. Otherwise there is no protection at all. And then what about the karma? Yes, karmani nirdahati kintu cha bhakti bhajam. So with respect to the seed, there are two examples that are given. The one, every karma that we have performed, that's like a seed. And that's when that seed is sown, it is going to grow and it is going to give the fruit. And the difference is that when the fruit comes, you cannot choose, I want to eat or I don't want to. You are forced to eat it. So if you have sown a bubble seed, bubble tree comes, you have to eat the thorns. You are forced to eat. So that is karma. So what is the standard example? What happens to the seeds of karma when you practice bhakti? Yeah, they are fried. Karmani nirdahati. So when the seed is fried, then it doesn't grow. That is one example. CC gives another example. Anyone remembers? He says, suppose a farmer has sown the seeds in the crop, but a big flood comes. The seed is destroyed and the soil is also destroyed. Everything is destroyed. So like that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come with the flood of love of God. And all the seeds of material desires in the hearts of the conditioned soul, they are completely inundated. Prabhupada gives another example for higher taste. Very nice. He says, somebody may say that material desires are constantly going to flow. How can you stop them? So somebody says that just as in a river, the water keeps flowing. So how can you stop them? So Prabhupada says, yes, but when the river comes near the ocean, then sometimes there is a high tide in the ocean. And when the high tide comes in the ocean, although the river is flowing towards the ocean, when the high tide comes in the ocean water overfloods the river water. It says like that, normally our tendency is towards material desires. But when we come close to the oceanic pleasure of Krishna consciousness, when that rises in our heart, then all the material pleasures are overcome. The desires for the material pleasures. So we are protected from our karma by Krishna. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishyami. So he alone can protect us from our karma. And we discussed once about how Krishna protects from our karma. But I'll just quickly repeat that. There are many ways in which Krishna can protect, but they can be categorized into three. One is that Krishna just gives us a sample of our karma. That we are supposed to suffer immensely, but Krishna gives only a small suffering. Like Prabhupada said, your finger was supposed to be cut. When his finger was cut, he said, your head was supposed to be cut, only the finger was cut. That is one sample. Another is, Krishna allows the suffering to come upon us, but he gives us his remembrance. He gives us absorption in his devotional service by which we transcend the suffering. So I told the story of that. Padmagandha Mataji, simple for the simple, that book. So she had this tumor and she had that brain tumor. She would get fits. When she would get the fits, her body would shake like a leaf in the storm. And the doctor said any fit can be her last fit. But this time once she had an attack and she was just shaking and shaking and shaking and going on, and the devotees were doing kirtan frantically. And it just went on for a long time. And as soon as the fit stopped, she just called out, Krishna, thank you so much. You are so kind to me. And everybody was very surprised. She had a very severe attack, and normally after the attack she would be exhausted. And then the devotee asked her, what happened? She said that throughout the attack I was getting a clear darshan of Radha Shyam Sundar in Vrindavan. So that is just Krishna giving his remembrance. So we may get the physical suffering, but Krishna gives us his remembrance by which we transcend the pain of the suffering. That's why Sridhar Maharaj would say that. What is this famous saying? Yeah. Yeah, pain is inevitable, but suffering is optional. So pain is physical, the stimuli has to come. But the suffering, Krishna can help us to transcend that. And the third is that You know, Krishna allows the karma to come upon us and we suffer. Now what happens? Krishna wants to give us his remembrance, but if we are too attached to something else, then Krishna wants to give us his remembrance, but we are not ready to accept that. Then the suffering comes upon us and we suffer. We also feel the pain. But because we are taking shelter of Krishna, we become purified. So even if a devotee undergoes a terrible disease or a terrible, say, relationship problem or whatever, you know, devotees sometimes get divorces and things like that. But through all this, three things happen. The devotee gets realization, renunciation, and devotion. That suffering for the devotee brings these three things. He's suffering, but because he has taken shelter of Krishna, that suffering brings realization, renunciation, and devotion. And that's why a devotee suffering is never like a karmi suffering. So we can just write for this. Karma, you can just write these three categories. We can just make three arrows, you know, three. So the lowest is just a sample. Lowest. That means, that is sample. Second is remembrance. In Krishna, by remembrance, he helps us to transcend the suffering. And the third is these three things I said. Realization, renunciation, and devotion. This is how Krishna helps us to transcend our suffering. He protects us from our karma. And what about Kala? This is the standard argument of the non-devotees. You say that old age, disease, and death are problems, but they are problems for you also. You are also going to die. So what is the difference? Now we give the example. What is the standard example Prabhupada gives for this? Cat, kitten in the mouth, and rat in the mouth. Yes, Prabhu? Yes, very beautiful example. Correct. These are two very good examples to give. This is one example. Two patients who are admitted in the hospital, both are suffering. But for one, the disease is not diagnosed and the treatment is not started. For the other, the disease is diagnosed, treatment is started. So although both are suffering, but it's a world of difference. Now, one important thing is, for the karmis, not only the disease not diagnosed, it is misdiagnosed. Isn't it? They have actually diagnosed the cause of their suffering to be the cure for their suffering. They think that lack of sense gratification is the cause of my suffering. Because I don't have wealth, because I don't have sense gratification, that's why I'm suffering. So it's worse than this situation, their situation actually. They are thinking that which is the cause of all suffering, that they are thinking that is the source of all happiness. So, Yanisha Sarvabhutana, see that. So that is one example. The other example is the policeman beating a criminal and the mother beating her child. Both are beating, but there's a world of difference. That's why devotee suffering and non-devotee suffering is different. Now, with respect to Kal, with respect to death ultimately, so as Ramana Prabhu said, the cat and the kitten. So this example can be elaborated a little bit to make the relevance more clear. At the time of death, there are many sufferings, but the sufferings can be categorized into three. One is the physical pain because of the disease and the disorders in the body. Second is the loss of all that is dear to us. Loss of our possessions, the loss of our position, the loss of our loved ones. And the third is fear of what is going to come next. So these three are the main fears at the time of death. One is main suffering at the time of death. What is the first? The physical suffering. What all we are going to suffer. Second is? Yes, that means, you know, I am suffering now and all that was giving me pleasure, I am going to lose it. So it's like past, present and future. Present, there is pain, and all that was a source of pleasure for me in the past is going to go away. And in the future, I don't know what is going to happen. Oh, there was an Epicurean Greek philosopher. Epicureanism is a philosophy we just enjoy. Don't worry about anything. So he had this philosophy. that I will never die. Why? Because when death comes, I won't be there. I will be dead. So, it's a foolish word jugglery. When death comes, I will be dead. So, who will suffer? I won't suffer. But that is based on the idea that there's nothing going to happen afterwards. People fear what is going to happen to me afterwards. But we'll see for a devotee how all these three don't apply. Yes, we are going to lose. Now, for a devotee, even his, the things which he, the services that he is doing, the people and the things which he is using in the service of Krishna, they are dear to him. But Krishna is more dear to him. So, that's why he doesn't fear losing all these things. He is going to lose it, but he knows that it was given to me by Krishna for his service, and now Krishna is taking it back. So, he doesn't fear that loss. That loss doesn't cause him pain. That's the first thing. So, Prabhupada, this is a good example for this. How, suppose, say, you have got somebody has purchased a new Mercedes car. And then, when he's driving the car, and then from behind, tuck, somebody just hits the bumper and, just gets so angry. Huh? How dare you hit my Mercedes car? The same person, say, he sells the Mercedes car. And then, now he's walking on the street. And he sees that same Mercedes car, somebody else is driving it, the owner, and that somebody hits that car. Now, will he scream, eh? No. Because that is not his. He has sold it off. So, like that, for the devotee, this body, he was using it in Krishna's service, but he has used it. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, burn this body in the fire of Sankirtan. That's what Radhishyam has written in the letter also. So, he has returned this body back to Krishna in his service. So, when material nature takes back the body, and he sees the body destroyed, he's not attached to the body anymore. That's why the destruction of the body doesn't cause him pain. So the physical pain is not there because he's not attached to the body. He has returned that body back to Krishna. He doesn't think, not only the karmis, not only they think that, you know, this is my body, they think I am the body. That's even greater suffering. So once Purna Chandra Prabhu was like this, so he was giving a class in America and he was saying, you are not your body. So, then one person at the end, he asked a question. Then whose body am I? I was convinced that I am the body. So, if I am not my body, then whose body am I? So, that is the magnitude of body attachment. So, a devotee, because he has returned the body back to Krishna, he doesn't suffer the physical pain. Krishna gives him the remembrance. Yesterday, we discussed how the suffering is because of attachment. And third is, now, generally, this is also an example given by our acharyas. Say, when a girl is married to someone and she has never met the boy and she has never met the family members of the in-laws, then when she is going to that place, she is very insecure and fearful because she is going to a new place and she doesn't know what will happen to me over there, how I will live. But if that has been, if say that marriage has been preceded by a long loving relationship, she knows her husband, she knows whom her in-laws, she knows all the relatives over there. So when she's going to the new place, she's not fearful, she's eager, she's anticipating because she's going to meet her beloved over there. So like that, for a devotee, he's already developed his relationship with Krishna. Her life has been a development of relationship with Krishna. So when death comes, that's like the moment of marriage. Now he's leaving his home, he's going to Mecca and he's going to his Sasural. But here the Sasural, Krishna is there. So it's there is no fear of the future for a devotee. So these three causes of suffering which are there, they are not there for a devotee. And that's why, you know, Krishna says, Kalosmi Loka Kshaya Krut Prut. He says, I am Kal, I am death. Now Krishna also says, Paritranaya Sadhuna Vinashaya Chidushkrita. When I descend in this world, I deliver the devotees and I annihilate, destroy the demons. So now if you combine these two shlokas, so when Krishna comes as Kal, Paritranaya Sadhuna, what does he do? He frees the devotee from the miserable material existence. And for the karmis, Vinashaya Chidushkritam, all that is dear to them is destroyed by Krishna. So in the form of Kal, that is how, for one, it is like the kitten, and the other is like the cat for the kitten and the other is a cat for the rat. So that's why when we give this explanation, when we are talking about the difference in them, then it becomes more convincing. Otherwise, this is just an example, it doesn't explain, because you are also going to die, they will say. In fact, there are this argument of the karmi, that this whole concept of spiritual world and God has been created by you because you don't have the courage to face the reality of death. The reality of the end of your existence. That's what they say. But then, with this we can explain. So, the challenge for a devotee is, as Bhaktivedanta Maharaj would say that, if you love anything more than Krishna at the time of death, then you have to take birth again. So our challenge is that Krishna should become the dearmost object for our life before death. So if Krishna becomes the dearmost object, then we will not be losing that which is dear to us. We will be actually gaining that which is dear to us when we die. This is how Krishna protects us from these three main sources of suffering: Kala, Karma and Guna. So that's why Krishna is the only protector. Yes, Radha Prabhu. If somebody remembers the spiritual master, say they remember Prabhupada at the time of death. Yes, certainly. Prabhupada will deliver them. In one sense, what is that? Vani guna anugathane shravanau kathayam. What is the last line of that? Tad darshane stu. What is that? Vani guna anugathane shravanau kathayam. Drishtim satam darshane stu bhavat tanunam. That the darshan of your devotees is non-different from your darshan. So we can use our eyes to behold the form of your devotees. And in this way, we can engage the eyes in your service. So if somebody is remembering the spiritual master, then that is also actually non-different from remembrance of Krishna. Now, one important thing is that the remembrance of the spiritual master should lead to remembrance of his instructions. And his instruction is to remember Krishna. So for most devotees, Prabhupada is integrally, inextricably related with Krishna. Prabhupada is Krishna's devotee. So Prabhupada told us to remember Krishna. So now, if somebody is very attached to the spiritual master but doesn't follow the spiritual master's instruction, there are some Prabhupada disciples who are like that. So it's inconceivable. So once His Holiness Radha Maharaj asks the question, if somebody loves the spiritual master very much and they speak about the spiritual master a lot, but they don't follow his instructions, they don't chant, they don't follow the regular principles, so how do we understand this? So he said that, as a disciple, it is our duty to love the spiritual master. It's our duty to love the spiritual master. And if we love this, express our love for the spiritual master, then the spiritual master will elevate us. But if the spiritual master chooses to love someone, then that is his free will. So these devotees, they have done so much for Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada loves them. So Srila Prabhupada will deliver them, irrespective of what happens. But we can't apply that to us. So for us, we have to express our love for the spiritual master and then the spiritual master will also deliver us. So it may happen. So if it's like that, and some of the disciples, after Prabhupada left, they couldn't continue. So that means that they could not see the connection of Prabhupada with Krishna. So Prabhupada is gone, but Krishna is still there. And Prabhupada has come to help us develop our relationship with Krishna. Of course, Prabhupada said also at one time that in the spiritual world, we will have another ISKCON. And we will all be together in that ISKCON. So, no comments about that. But that is just a quote of Prabhupada. Okay. So, anyone like to add anything about this? Okay, yes, we'll come to that. Yes, Vishal, we had a question.
But some people...
About Kala, past, present and future.
But so still some people ask about this. They may have this feeling that spiritual world is an imagination. We may try to convince them, but this is many times people have this thought. So how to deal with it? Like all the examples which you are giving in the based on the fact that we higher reality is there, where means one dhab is there.
So, It's said that every urge has a fulfillment. We have hunger and there is food for it. We have thirst and there is water for it. So every urge has a fulfillment. Similarly, we have the urge for immortality. Nobody wants to die. So even that urge has a fulfillment. Now, if you see, if they deny the spiritual world, but then actually all that is supposed to be there in the spiritual world, they imagine that in the movie world. Isn't it? In the movie, they make the hero immortal. But there are bullets going all around and everybody dies, but the hero doesn't die. And so, they, instead of accepting the immortality of the soul, they create an imaginary character and they imagine that to be immortal. You know, they say the half man, half lion. That's mythology. Then they worship a half man, half spider. Isn't it? Or a half man, half bat. So we see actually all that they show in the movies, that's just a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. So Ravindra Sarupru explains this. You can wipe this. So we need someone glorious, someone wonderful to love. So I was telling you that Instagram. Now we forget the person who never forgets us, and we remember the people who never remember us. We forget the person who never forgets us. That is Krishna. And we remember the people who never remember us. They are the movie stars. Isn't it? They don't even know us. They don't even know that we exist. Even if they know that we exist, they don't really care for us. And even if they care for us, what can they do for us? So, but still we dream about them. You know, they are so glorious and one day I will meet them and I will shake hands with them and do this and do that. You know. So, we're just substituting. What is actually originally there, we call the original as mythological. And then we create our own imagination. Now, why do we do that? There is a movie which has been released, and that movie contains all sorts of crazy stunts with the bike. There's a bike which is shown, which is flying, and so the movie star does all sorts of stunts with the movies. And there are several people who tried to imitate and they had accidents. So now, according to the censor board, they have said that before showing this movie, you have to have a slideshow which will show how dangerous the stunts are, so please don't imitate. But then why have the stunts at all in the movie? Isn't it? Because the soul is immortal and Krishna is immortal. And Prabhupada always says, you know, so there was a battle between Krishna and his demon, and as usual, Krishna was victorious. So that infallibility of Krishna, we reject that and then we project it on some hero in this world. And we try to imitate that. So it is just completely misdirected. So this is Ravindra Sarupru explains in one of his articles. And there are these three levels. See, this is the material reality. So at the material reality, there is disease, there is suffering, there is fear, and ultimately there is death. So this is the reality, but we belong to the spiritual reality, where there is the opposite of that. There is no disease, there is no death, there is no suffering, there is no fear. There is just bliss, just happiness. So now we have fallen from the spiritual reality to the material reality because of our rebellion of Krishna. We have rejected Krishna, rejected service to Krishna. Now we hanker for what is here, but we refuse to accept subordination to Krishna. So what do? We create a imagined material reality. And in this imagined material reality, that is the movie world, there we attribute all that is there in the spiritual world. So there we show immortality, we show heroism, we show enjoyment. So that means the movie world is actually, it's a doubly perverted version of the spiritual world. The material world is a perverted reflection. And we want to double further perverted. So actually, that drive is innate within us. But either because we don't know about the spiritual world, or we refuse to accept our subordination to Krishna. So we refuse to accept the process that will take us to the spiritual world. So then we create this imaginary world. And that's why we see how much people are hooked to movies and all sorts of entertainment. Why? Because that is natural but misdirected. So that's why what we need to do is we actually need to propagate the spiritual reality in a very attractive way. So this concept of service and being a servant of Krishna, that is not very attractive. But if we present how spiritual life is so joyful, and then people get attracted, and then the process for attaining that is that we have to become a servant. But if the fact of being a servant is pounded down too much, then people don't consider only any further. So we have to do both. You have to, of course, tell them that you have to subordinate yourself to Krishna, but along with that, we have to present Krishna consciousness very attractively, that people will get attracted to it. Does that answer your question? Yes, Pitambar. You had a question? So just one point about this is how people are so misled. So, you know, so people say they have, whenever we give them some books, they say no time. But then they have time to watch TV, they have time to watch movies, they have time to watch cricket. So that is a misdirected mentality. You know, we find time for entertainment, we find time for getting entertainment, and we find excuses for avoiding enlightenment. That is our misfortune. Always, no matter how busy a person is, they have time for watching cricket matches, they have time for watching movies, they have time for reading newspapers, but they have no time for God. So we find excuses for getting enlightenment, and we find time for getting entertainment. That is because that rebellion against Krishna is there. I'm sorry. So there is a what is called. So what happens in the imagine say movie world or the TV world? That actually the TV is the device by which the conditioned soul imagines himself to be God. Because what happens? The viewer identifies himself with the hero. When he identifies himself with the hero, then when the hero enjoys, you know, say he enjoys with the opposite sex, then people in the movies, they whistle. Why? Because they are identifying. And they are thinking, I am enjoying. So when the hero is beaten, he is beating up, they also enjoy. And when the hero gets beaten, oh, they become frightened. So it's all, there is the word in English is called vicarious pleasure. Vicarious means somebody else is enjoying and we imagine that I am doing it and I am enjoying. So the entertainment industry vicariously makes us God. It gives us a feeling that I am the enjoyer. So now that same for the video games. Video games, what happens? People sit and they identify, I am that hero. They're shooting this person, shooting that person, shooting that person. So they think that they are big heroes shooting down images on a digital screen, while they are such lazy bum that they can't even get out of bed in reality. So that is the material reality which they refuse to accept, and they go into imagined reality. So, yes, this one, right? Yes, Pitambar Chetan Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Dada Pramod Prabhu is telling ki if someone remember a spiritual master. So actually, yeah. If somebody able to remember a spiritual master, certainly he will remember Krishna also. Because these are remembering spiritual master and remembering Krishna inseparable. Because as soon as he remembers a spiritual master, so because what spiritual master does? Because always remembering Krishna he does. Mm-hmm. We will remember automatically his activities. That is Krishna consciousness. Both are correlated. So certainly he will remember spiritual master, if remember Krishna. That is, if it's not able to remember, just remember spiritual master, not remembering Krishna, that is material. Just like the material attachment, okay. Nothing connection with Krishna. That is my understanding. Is it correct?
Yeah, correct. That's what I said, na, that Dushti Satam Darshan is Tubhavat Taruna. Actually, when we see the spiritual master, immediately we see Krishna. We remember Krishna. Now, of course, there's one purport of Srila Prabhupada, I don't remember where it says that at the time of death, even the spiritual master cannot help. The disciple has to himself remember Krishna. Spiritual master can be physically present also. And he can provide us all facilities, but it is for us to remember Krishna. So, yes, generally, remembrance of the spiritual master will lead to remembrance of Krishna also. That is true. Yes. Any comments, Shivachan Prabhu? Yes, Lalit Madhu Prabhu? Mic? Yeah, loudly. You can speak loudly or... Okay. Yeah, very thoughtful question. That's his question is that, say you say that when you watch, when people watch movies, they enjoy because they identify with the hero. So when we read Krishna book, we hear Krishna's pastimes. So we also enjoy. So is it because we are identifying with Krishna? So the answer is that, you know, that's why philosophy first, pastime later. Yeah. First we have to understand the philosophy, which tells us that we are not the enjoyers. And then when we hear the pastime, that's why it is said, without Krishna Tattva, Krishna Leela is amusing. With Krishna Tattva, Krishna Leela is amazing. So without Krishna, it's just amusing. It's just a form of entertainment. Oh, he did like this, he did like that. And they're also actually imagining that I am like that. So, and the test comes when we hear Krishna Leela with the gopis. So actually, when a conditioned soul hears that Leela, he becomes lustily agitated. Why? Because he's identifying himself with Krishna. But in the pure devotee, he hears, he actually identifies himself with the gopis. He says the gopis as devotees. And we have Swarupa in the spiritual world as a Manjari or a Gopi or whatever. He sees them as devotees. So if we are identifying ourselves as a Gopi, then we will feel spiritual happiness. And if we identify ourselves with Krishna, then we will feel material pleasure, material agitation. So that's why Prabhupada said that about the Ras Leela, he said that hearing the Ras Leela will purify you. It will actually remove lust from your heart. But if that is agitating you, then don't read it. Don't hear it. That means you are not advanced enough to hear it. So none of us are advanced enough. Of course, at least I am not. So that is the test. It may be true what you are saying, that when we hear Krishna's pastimes also, we identify ourselves with Krishna. But because we hear the philosophy so much, then we don't, we understand that actually Krishna is the Lord and we are his devotees. So we relish when a devotee hears Krishna's pastimes, you know, we relish Krishna's heroic nature, of course, but we also relish Krishna's love towards his devotees. Whereas when there is a professional Bhagavad Saptar, that's exactly what happens, what you're saying. They identify with the hero and what they get is just mundane entertainment. So we say that the proof that we are experiencing spiritual emotions is that we don't experience any material emotions. So this when the Bhagavad Saptar goes on, you know, say they hear about how Jatayu is killed and they start crying. And they come home and watch cricket and they see Sachin Tendulkar out on zero, they also start crying there. So that means it's material. So for them, that is a source of entertainment, this is a source of entertainment. And wherever they don't get entertainment, they feel miserable. So when we hear the philosophy, it doesn't happen like that. That's why there are many people who like to sing Vraja songs more. And if we say our parampara is that, we sing the songs of the Vaishnava Acharyas. The Vraja songs are like a direct relationship with Krishna. Whereas the Vraja songs are emphasizing more on our sinfulness and our fallen nature and begging for Krishna's mercy. Okay. Any other questions? So, I'll quickly summarize. We'll stop here. So, we talked about this first about Kala, Karma and Guna. How we are completely helpless against Kala, Karma and Guna. But it is Krishna alone who can protect us from this. He protects us from Guna by giving us the sword of remembrance of Krishna. We discussed, they saw the example of the Christians. And it protects us from karma in those three ways. Either a sample of the suffering or absorption so that we don't feel the suffering or realization through the suffering. And he protects us from Kala by taking us back home, back to Godhead. So for a devotee, there is no fear of the past or no loss from the past, because he knows this is just, he's not attached to those things for his own enjoyment. So there are suffering and death are three. Loss of what is dear from the past, pain of the present and fear of the future. So for a devotee, there is no loss of fear of the past in the present, because he has detached himself from the body like the sold Mercedes car, there is no suffering. And the future, it's like a bride who's going to a bridegroom's house with whom she already has a loving relationship. We are going back to the spiritual world. We know our future is clear. That's why there is paritranaya sadhuna, the same kala that delivers the devotee from this material existence. Then we saw about this, how the spiritual reality is innate, and that's what we are always hankering for. But because we deny it as mythological, then we created a false spiritual reality in the material world, in the movie world. And then we imagine that all that is present in the spiritual world is present here. But actually, if we just turn towards Krishna and surrender to him, then we will really experience all that we are longing for. Thank you very much. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prahalad Maharaj ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki, Tai Gaur Premanande.